Hallelujah. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, the text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service, we are celebrating our young people. And I believe we all can get blessed right down through here. So, Christian, if you just slide this way a little bit so I can see your face whilst I'm preaching away from that pole, trying to be intentional for the young people today. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Come on, Lord.
Thank you, Prophet Coleman, for your sharing earlier. I believe it helped me to know that I'm in the right place.
That's the Lord.
Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading there at verse number 4. Where the Lord reads on this wise. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee.
Yeah.
Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
Come on.
Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth.
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth.
Yeah.
See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
Yeah.
And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In this series of Christian consistency, always the same. I want to talk to our young people, and I want to talk to all of us in here this morning from the subject, prepared for promotion.
Amen. Come on now.
Prepared for promotion. I wish you look at somebody and testify. You'll tell them, I'm prepared for promotion. Prepared. Don't play with me. Tell somebody, I'm prepared for promotion. Truth of the matter is, I've been set up for promotion.
Come on here.
He said before you was even formed in the womb, before you got out here, you had been prepared for promotion.
Yes, Lord.
Present promotion. Anybody ever been on a job and got promoted? That means you got elevated. You got lifted. Your promotion means you have surpassed where you were.
Yes.
You have mastered where you were then, and you have been raised up a little bit. In other words, you have now advanced from where you were to where you're going. When we were in grade school, at the end of the year, they would say you got promoted to the next grade.
That's right.
You have finished the learning for that grade, and you have been promoted, elevated, lifted, sent on to a little bit higher.
Amen.
That's what it says. And in the text today, promotion came, but it had been coming for a long time. The text says, if you go back to the beginning, that the word had already been coming to Jeremiah. It's like that to some folk up in here. It was like that for me. It had been coming for quite some time, and it just kept on coming. You know, it had been coming to Jeremiah for a long time. Uh-huh. It's there in the text. It says when... In verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Uh-huh. The word came to Jeremiah in the days of Josiah. He kept on coming in the days of Jehoiakim. It kept coming in the days of Zedekiah. You know, some of them had 13 years. There are people, you read down through there, somebody was even in the fifth month of somebody's reign. The word of the Lord had been coming to Jeremiah. And as I'm standing before you this morning, the word of the Lord has been coming to many of you for quite some time. You have not embraced it just yet, but the word of God has been coming for a long time. And promotion is at hand. Promotion is at hand. Here in the text, there is a job that God is giving to Jeremiah. Don't make sense to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is the son of Hilkiah the priest. And if he's supposed to be like his daddy, then he ought to be a priest. But he's not being called to be a priest. That's already in him. There is some other stuff that God is calling for. Glory to God. For some of us to be able to embrace that may not have shown up in your DNA.
Right.
So can I speak to the young people here today? That your mama might have been one thing. Your daddy might have been one thing. And might not have been nothing wrong with what mama and daddy was doing. But even if you embrace that, God has something more for you.
Come on here.
Yeah. He has already ordained some stuff for you. So the position that he speaks to Jeremiah here in the text is that of a prophet. Begins to talk to him about this prophetic this prophetic anointing that he has already put on him.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
he says that he ordained him a prophet to the nation.
Yeah.
Now, you got to understand that it wasn't to just Israel, Judah. That's not. He said to the nations. Whew, look at it. He's already told him that there is an ordination council that has been set up, and the ordination is for you to be prophetic to the entire nation, and then the other nations surrounding, to the neighboring nations. But watch this piece in the text. He says that ordination didn't take place when they had a vote down at the church. The ordination didn't take place when somebody spoke up on your behalf.
Yes.
The ordination took place before you were ever born. That there was an eternal council, a Trinitarian council, if you will, up in the heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That was all that was
on
the council. They had gotten together, and they had, as the Trinity, ordained you to be a prophet. Well, what that says is that our Creator already knows what use we're going to be to him before he ever made us. He already decided what he was going to use you to be before he created you. That God has designed men for his will. And if he designed them for a particular thing, he's going to call you to that particular thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll call you. This particular purpose and providence of God through this ordination council that says that you are by special counsel designed for the work that he has been given to you, and you have been fitted for the work.
Yeah.
fitted to go talk to the boss man. Fitted. You have been fitted to do the work that God has sanctioned in your life. He says, I knew you before you were born, and I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet. But here it is. Jeremiah humbly declines promotion. Now, how many of us get promotion on our jobs and we say no thank you? Because you know, promotion comes with benefits.
That's right.
Promotion comes with status. Yeah, and you don't never say no to more money.
No.
It's right there in the text. Yeah. Jeremiah is like, hold up. No. He says, then said I, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And but though God had predestined him for the job, it was news to Jeremiah.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was a big surprise to hear that he should be a prophet to the nations. You know, let me talk around the neighborhood.
Right.
You let me talk to my friends. I go there, but you want me to go to the nations. Mm. To the world. So that's what you want me to do. We don't necessarily know what God intends for us, but God knows.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah, he was coming against it as a work for which he felt he was unqualified.
Right.
He wasn't feeling that. Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I can't speak to great men and multitudes as prophets do.
Yeah.
I cannot speak finely nor fluently. I cannot make my words that and use words well like the messengers do. They have good word sentence structure. Words from the way God would have them said. I cannot speak with any authority, nor can I expect anyone to listen to me. For I am a child. And my youth will be despised. They're going to look at me like I'm crazy. it makes sense when we have any service for God to be afraid lest we mismanage it. And lest through our suffering through our thoughts of ourselves and we become very, and our weaknesses and our unfitness would mess up the call that God has given to us. Some people are just bold. Oh, okay. You want me to go? Oh, you go with your head all up in the air and going to get knocked down between you.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's good. It makes good sense to be humble. It makes good sense to act like you don't really know it all. That you're not necessarily the best man or best woman for the job. Yeah, it makes sense also to have low thoughts of yourselves and to be a little timid of your own sufficiency. Those that are young should consider that they are. Yeah, you a child. You are a child. You should be afraid when you got to go beyond the lengths that you know that you have within yourself. But God doesn't beat Jeremiah up for what he says.
That's right.
You know, when we go to people and we ask them to do something, and they say, well, you know, I really got to do it. And we just going to go at them like they ought to know what they should be able to do. But you've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, this particular juncture in the text, Jeremiah, according to the calculations of the greats, is that he's only somewhere between 13 and 16.
All right.
That's how old he is. And so God doesn't beat him across the head because he doesn't up and say, yes, yes, sir. He speaks to him with some compassion. God speaks to his insecurities with some assurances. Don't you love God like that? That he will talk to the insecure places in your life and make you feel just as secure as you want to be. He says, I don't want you to look at this thing in light of the fact that you are a child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said he shall be a prophet for all that. Don't you say no anymore. I'm a child. Don't do it. It's true. That's what you are. You are Blanche. You a child. But thou hast God's precepts or his instruction. This is why you ain't got to say no, because you got the precept or the instruction of God. And let not thy young being young hinder you from obeying what God has already said. Go to all to whom I have shall send thee and speak whatsoever I command thee. Yeah, though a sense of our own weakness and insufficiency should make us go humbly about our work, yet it should not make us draw back from it when God calls us to it.
Yeah,
I know you're weak. I know you're frail. But when God calls you to a thing, you go to the thing. Yeah, he's given us this position. Jeremiah has been pushed to a position of the prophet. No, now he's in this position. He's offering these words of comfort. And in the midst of his words of comforting, he says to him, he talks about his presence. Thou, you got God's presence. Can I tell us young people that the presence of the Lord is always with you? He begins to speak to him, and you should be encouraged to depend on God being with you.
That's right.
Now, I don't care where you got to go, who you got to see, know without doubt that God, if God has sent you, God is with you.
Amen.
Yeah, you've got the presence of the Lord. Though you are a child, that shouldn't enable you to go, I'm going to enable you. Even though you are a child, I'm going to fix it so you can go to everybody that I'm going to send you to. And though they might be ever great and fearful, you might be fearful of where you got to go. And many of them go anyhow, in peace.
Yeah.
Don't act like you a child. You so young that you can't go because you're going to meet some enemies. And know that even though you're going to meet enemies and oppositions that come before you, God is with you.
Yes,
he ain't just there to look good. He's not there as a fly on the wall. He's there, the text says in verse 8, to protect you. I'm going there to take care of you, to make sure everything gonna be all right. Yeah, don't let him object because he can't speak when it comes before him, because God will enable him to speak. That's what it says, thus saith the Lord. So the Lord is compassionate, but he goes just a little bit further in the text. He enables Jeremiah to speak intelligently. And as one that had some acquaintance with God, he's going to speak in such fashion that folk know that he has been with the Lord. You know, can't you tell when you talk to folk who they sure enough know God for themselves? Can't you know that they have been in the presence of the Lord and the presence has fallen off on them? He said, you're going to be able to speak intelligently. And having now a vision of the divine glory, the Lord put forth his hand. He goes a little further. I told you, he takes his hand. The Lord puts his hand. And as a sensible sign, he put upon him so much the gift of the tongue as necessary for him. He touched his mouth, and with that touch, opened his lips, that his mouth should show forth God's praise. He touched his lips so his mouth would praise him. With that touch, he put words into his mouth, that he might be ready at any time, at all times, and every occasion that comes to him, that he'll have something to say. He's going to have words. He's never going to be without words, because the one who fixed your mouth, who made your mouth, will put words in your mouth every time you need him to tell you something. God not only put knowledge in his head, but he put words into his mouth.
Yeah.
For there are words which the scriptures will tell you that the Holy Ghost will teach you.
I'm out here.
That every now and then you may not go into the situation knowing what to say or how to say, but the Holy Ghost will take over and speak for you. Speak, he says, with my words. Don't go in there with your words. Go with my words. The prophet said, he went to the man and told him what God said. And these that are faithful to do it like that. If you're faithful, you'll never have to worry about needing any further instruction. God will give you a mouth and wisdom in the self-same mouth.
Yes, he will.
Glory to God. And so it is that he says his position now as prophet comes with the presence of God. But look at him. He says, you also are going to be able to speak powerfully. It's giving him power. You have power from God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he speaks powerfully and is one with authority from God. It's a strange commission that's given to him. He says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. This sounds very great. Yet Jeremiah is a poor, despicable priest still. He's still a priest. He's not set over the kingdoms as a prince to rule by the sword. No, he is set over them as a prophet by the power of the word of God.
Yes.
To root out.
Uh-huh.
And to pull down.
Pull it down.
And to destroy.
Yes.
And to throw down.
Throw it down.
Now God, you have to watch the text and see where it's going. He has called you and put you in position.
Yeah.
In position, he promises you his presence.
Yeah.
His presence comes with his power. And his power is so that you can do what he told you to do.
That's right.
And the power that he's told you to do sometimes is going to cause you to be destructive.
That's right.
That's what he says in the text. I need you to go and tear some stuff up. I need you to go to rip some stuff up and throw some stuff down.
Yeah.
And you have the power to do it. I know you're a little shaky. I know you got fears. I know you're worried about what you're going to say when you get there to say what you got to say. Looking like you're looking. But all I know is that I have the presence of God. And in his presence, I got full power.
Yeah.
Glory to the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
And with that power,
uh-huh,
when I do what he tells me to
come
do,
here,
he still pushes forth purpose.
Bring it, Holy Ghost.
Listen, your destructive moments, that's not the purpose of the move of God. You may have been sent there to destroy some stuff, but your purpose comes a little later. The text says to build and to plant.
Yeah.
You're not just going to tear stuff up and leave it like that.
Right. Come on.
You're going to clear out some stuff and build anew.
Yes.
I'm talking about a fresh start. Some things you're gonna start all over again.
Uh-huh.
You're going to do what hasn't ever been done before.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's the kind of God we serve.
Yes,
that he will send you in looking at something that might be halfway torn down,
uh-huh,
and tell you to tear it completely up.
Tear it down.
And start building all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Build and plant.
Mm-hmm.
Build
and plant.
Listen, he says, I'm sending you there to build and to plant.
Yeah.
If you're building,
uh-huh,
and you're planting,
uh-huh,
it speaks specifically to the prosperity that belongs to you.
My God.
So many times we the Lord tells us to go a place and we act like we can't afford to go.
Right.
We act like we can't do it that kind of way, but God says, what I'm telling you to do is going to fix the way for you to be, to do, and to have everything that you need. I'm going to run if y'all don't. Glory to God. He says, I'm going to fix it for you. That when you get through doing what I told you to do, you will suffer no lack from all that you left, from all that was taken, from all that was broken up. You will suffer no lack because you will begin to build up some other stuff. You'll be able to plant some other stuff. Plant. Thank you. Plants are representative of continued life.
My Lord.
You will live. You will not die. You will live. It's going to send you into some gruesome places, but you'll live. I know you're going to live, Reverend. Well, text says you're going to plant.
That's right.
And you're going to build. Some stuff is going to benefit. Benefit you. I'm tying through. But he says that you've got to look for the promotion that has been given to you. You can't make it on my promotion.
That's right.
Don't get no attitude because I got one before you.
Yes.
Because if promotions are being had, yours is on the way.
Amen.
Get excited. You got to get excited that your turn is coming.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You ain't never had to get in line nowhere. And all I know is, ever how many people in front of you got theirs before you got yours.
Uh-huh.
But you ain't going nowhere because you knew in a little while it's going to be my turn.
Right.
And I'm going to get blessed just like they did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, that you've got to wait on your promotion.
That's right.
And don't get mad at me because I got mine. You might not necessarily want the promotion that I got because you don't want to know what I had to go through to get what I got. What you're saying, Reverend? Well, Jesus was promoted. But look at the promotion. Look what it took for his promotion. His promotion called for a demotion before he could be promoted. Did you hear me what I said?
He
had to go from the Christ to being a criminal. Because they took him through courts. Kangaroo courts. And they beat him. They carried on. Look at the position that he had to take. He had to take one of a criminal. They're going to make me guilty even though I'm not guilty. They're going to make him guilty even though they know he's not guilty. Pilate had to go wash his hands and pumped out and let him go head on and take Jesus. Glory to God. He is the one, the Holy One, who in the midst of this new position that he knew was going to happen before he ever got here, before the foundation of the world, he already knew that he was going to be in this particular position. But he knew that the Father was right with him. Well, Reverend, what happened when he started hollering out at God? That my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he just left the upper room and he told the disciples that I'm going away, but the Holy Ghost going to come. And he will be with you always. And here he is struggling, trying to find where the Father is. But he had power. So much power that he could handle the cross. So much power that he could handle the silence of heaven. So much power that he stayed on that old rugged cross.
Yes.
Power there. That even while they were whipping him and nailing him, he never said a mumbling word. Power on the inside to make it to the place where when he opened his mouth, he could say, "It is finished."
Yes,
it takes power to finish.
Yes, it does.
Come on here.
Yes, it does.
It takes power, y'all.
Yes, it does.
To finish.
Yeah.
And he said, "It's finished. It's done." His purpose has been fulfilled. Yeah, he had to die.
Yes.
Yeah, he had to die that Jackson could live.
Yes, Lord.
He had to die Churchman could live.
Uh-huh.
He had to die that Coles could live.
Uh-huh.
That was his purpose. And he already told him, "You destroyed this temple. In 3 days, raise it up again." Yeah, there he went through his promotional period that caused him to understand his position. That allowed him to experience and not experience presence, and then recognizing that he is the same God that he's crying out to.
Yeah.
That power wells up on the inside of him. And he understands now that I'm here dying for the sins of the entire world.
Yes, Lord.
And the Father, on the third day morning, gets him up with more power than he went down with. He said, "I got all power in heaven and in earth. And it's in my hand." Listen, children, that same power that's in the hand of Jesus, he wants to give it to you. He wants to put it in your hand. He wants you to be the extension of the power from heaven. Not so much of what's going on down here, but that you have power from heaven. He wants to give it to you. He said, "I went through the worst part so that you could live forever up in glory." Well, Reverend, how does that happen? It happens when you accept him for yourself. It happens when you say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved." It happens when you surrender yourself to Jesus, that he can wash your mind, wash your heart, wash your soul, make you clean in him, that you might become a child of the Most High God. It happens when you say yes to the Lord.
Yeah.
When he says, "Who will go for me?" And you say, "Send me, I'll go." It happens when an opportunity for someone to give their life to Jesus, as old folks say, come crying, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's simple. Say, "I want to be saved." It's just that simple. And he steps in and he saves you. He steps in, he makes you brand new. He steps in and you become a part of the family of God. Don't make it easy. Doesn't say that life will be a bed of roses. But he is with you wherever you go. His presence, accompanied by his power, operates in purpose in your life within the position that he's calling each of us to. Oh my God. You look, y'all. Before you say yes, before you accept your promotion, don't worry about what you don't have or what you should have or what you could have. You have already been prepared for this promotion. He prepared you for this moment before your mom and daddy ever got together. He prepared you for this moment for cells connected on the inside. He prepared you for the moment of promotion before you was ever a thought or a twinkle in your daddy's eye. I'm so glad that he prepared me for the promotion that he's given me.
Amen.
There's no one who gets promoted and has not been prepared for the promotion. That's why some of y'all ain't being promoted. You haven't been prepared. You ain't ready.
Right.
But you, my brothers and sisters, you came here ready for promotion, for Jesus died for you to fix it so you could answer whatever call he gives to you. What have you been called to do? What is your position? Do you know you have his presence? It is accompanied by his power. And the thing that he's called you to, he will push you in purpose. Not necessarily on purpose, but in purpose for his glory and his honor. I am prepared for promotion in one of these old days.
One day.
Yeah. Glory to God. One of these old days.
Yes.
I'll get the ultimate promotion.
Amen.
I'll be lifted from this place to my heavenly home. Why? Because I'm prepared. Glory to God. I'm prepared be with the Lord. And if you're not ready, time is now. You can get ready to be with the Lord. Amen.